37 cars, 14 manufacturers, and over 100 drivers. Welcome to the 2024 WEC season, which is sure to be one of our biggest and our best yet. We're here in Qatar, and this looks set to be one of our most exciting seasons yet, no?
First time ever in Qatar, really excited for this track, a real challenge. And I think in terms of what this season means for WEC, it's absolutely huge. I don't think there's been this level of quality of manufacturers in any championship in the world, let alone in sports cars. Yeah, so a massive amount of anticipation for what's ahead.
Before we get into any of that, let's chat about our LMGT3 cars and more specifically what this track has in store for them, because I was on the track walk earlier and there is so much for them to suss out here. A lot of drivers haven't been here before, particularly in the GT3 class. What can they expect?
A challenge, a major challenge. A lot of constant radius corners here, so it's going to be super tough.
What does that
on
mean?
The tires. It means long corners.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
So, you know, a regular corner is generally a single apex corner. These are multiple apex corners almost.
Okay.
Long flowing corners. Obviously very difficult vehicle dynamically for the tires. So a big test for the strategists on that one. For GT3 in particular, I'm really interested in the fact that these cars now, as opposed to the LMGT cars of the past, have ABS brakes. Now what that means is it should theoretically be a bit easier for the silver and bronze categorised drivers. So that will be quite interesting, not only how they cope, but obviously with the traffic and how the traffic flows with being lapped by the hypercars.
Well, we have 18 cars, 9 manufacturers. Where on earth shall we start?
It's difficult. Let's do the alphabet, shall we? Shall we
start? Oh, that's very civilised of us.
Aston Martin, I would say, would be a good place to start.
I think that's an excellent place to start. Who have we got looking out for us this year in the Aston Martin?
Well, we've got the Heart of Racing team, obviously, that came in partway through last season. They're going to be ultra busy because not only are they doing a season of the GT3, LMGT3 and WEC category, they've also got the hypercar program that's coming on stream for 2025. So those guys are going to be really busy on two programs effectively. And, you know, that team actually, when you look at what they did last season, really got more confidence as the season went on. Mm. By Bahrain, you know, they were really up there looking for a podium result. You know, Ian James leads that team. He's also the brains really behind what they're going to do in hypercars from a management sense. So,
and his qualifying performance has really improved since his time has been in WEC as well.
Yeah, he's really improved. I mean, he's a really experienced guy. Mm. But then you look at the D-Station guys as well, and it's nice to welcome back Marco Sorensen. Obviously, an ex-champion, part of the Dane train, the famous Dane train from a few years ago. That's going to be interesting to see how he gets on with D-Station. And he's got a silver driver with Erwin Bastar. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes as a new dynamic in that team.
So I'm looking down at my alphabet on here. I think I'm next. I sound like a children's teacher. It's B for BMW. Talk to me about this, because this is perhaps one of the most hotly anticipated lineups that we have in the WEC this year.
Yeah, the BMW M4 LMGT3 Challenger looks the business. It's a mean machine. It looks extremely aggressive on the track. And the big story, obviously, is Valentino Rossi, a legend of motorsport, 9-time MotoGP champion, somebody who actually has a framework of what he's done before. He's done GT3 races. He's driven lots of different cars of that design. He's got some knowledge base there. Mm. I think it's crucial for him being paired with Maxime Martin, who is the 2020 Le Mans champion with Aston Martin. Maxime's got a wealth of experience, a really knowledgeable technical driver, and I think Valentino learned quite a lot of him. It sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Valentino Rossi learning something from anyone. A true legend in the sport, but that's what he'll have to do. And I think his inherent determination is going to be fascinating to see how he tackles a really, really tough proposition, a tough program for him this season.
And of course, we do have to acknowledge that it's WRT that's going to be running that car with so much experience in endurance racing. Between that car and the experience also in the sister car, surely that puts them in a really good place heading into this year.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I don't think you can question their record in WEC over the last three seasons. You know, multiple LMP2 champions. They've won, you know, a hatful of races. They do have experience in a variety of disciplines in motorsport. Vanthoorne Voss and Thierry Tassin run a super tight organisation there. So, yeah, I expect them to hit the ground running and be right from the start.
C for Corvette Racing up next. Now run by TF Sport, not our usual Yank, actually a British team. Who can we be looking out for in this little little crew.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, isn't it? TF Sport's synonymous with Aston Martin in the past, and then they're going to Corvette Racing, a nice partnership there. So, I sense that they will go on to great things. It may just take a few races to get bedded in and understand a totally new project for them. But, you know, they've got the likes of Charlie Eastwood in there with a bag full of experience. They've got Daniel Junkadea, who is, you know...
That was a big story.
An ex-factory Mercedes driver and somebody, you know, who's raced with some of the best F1 drivers in his junior career and sort of got some good results. So big things expected of them. But like I say, I think it might just take a couple of races for them to hit their straps.
Well, perhaps the team that I am absolutely expecting to hit the ground running is the Ferrari with AF Corsa. These guys, a lot of them have already been driving this LMGT3 car in other championships up until now, particularly the likes of Rovera. They know this really well. For me, that's a team I'm going to be looking out for heading into the season.
Yeah, and I think, you know, continuity with the 54 crew, Thomas Fleur, yes. Castellacci and Davide Rigon as well. You know, they won in Fuji last season. They just gelled over the last campaign. The 296 is a car that, like you say, is quite well sorted, well known. So yeah, I think they will be a threat. Probably the 54 car as opposed to the other car. But yeah, I mean, a class in any type of endurance racing wouldn't be the same without Ferrari.
Absolutely not. I've made myself laugh here. I've gone to look at my notes for what we're going to talk about when it comes to Ford. And all I've done is write in capital letters, Mustang! Is that kind of all we need to know? Or what else is there to it?
The mule is kicking the door down in LMGT3.
It's exciting, isn't it?
It is. And it's great to have Multimatic back and Proton Competition winning this. You've got a great sort of structure of really top companies in that. You've got some great drivers. I mean, it's nice to see Ben Barker getting a factory gig, isn't it? I mean, he's really earned it in his time with GR Racing and Gulf Racing in the past. So I just think, quite apart from the noise, which is going to blow everybody away.
And the size of the thing as well.
Yeah, it's just a wonderful addition to the diversity of what we're seeing in LMGT3 this season.
Actually, speaking of diversity, for me, one of the really exciting cars that has joined us all the way down the far end of the pit lane is Akodis with the Lexus. There's a few really interesting stories in that team. Calvin van der Linde, Jose Maria Lopez, two quite well-known names around the motorsport world. What else can we be looking out for there?
It's good, you know, a new proposition, really. The Lexus name hasn't raced in the World Endurance Championship before. Obviously, it's part of the Toyota family. Mm-hmm. Pachito Lopez, nice to see him with a fresh new challenge. He's achieved so much with that number 7 crew. So, you know, he'll be leading that team. He'll be somebody who'll be pushing them technically, on strategy and lots of other things. So, again, it might take them a few races to get fully into mm-hmm. the mix. But with, like you say, van der Linde, who has, you know, won a variety of different races in GT3 and has been a DTM driver as well. And I think Lopez as well. They're undoubtedly going to be in the mix come the end of the season, I think.
Moving on, up next in the alphabet, Lamborghini. Mm-hmm. Perhaps the team that's going to be most talked about out of those two will be particularly the Iron Dames, coming off their win in Bahrain, their first ever win in the World Endurance Championship. And what a way to end the LMGTE era. Now heading into GT3, now with Dorian Pinn instead of Rahel Frey. What's that going to look like for them?
It's the third car in three seasons for the Iron Dames.
Tough ask.
But they've proved last season they can adapt to a new project. I think Dorian has got a lot of momentum in terms of what she achieved in LMP2 last season. She'll have learned a hell of a lot from the Prema team and with Mirko Bortolotti and Daniel Kvyat. And she shaped up extremely well against some really top professionals there. Michelle Gatting has proven consistency-wise that she's mega. Sarah Bovey, the qualifying specialist and somebody who's really come on in terms of what she's able to bring to the party. Yeah, I actually think that Lamborghini Huracan has had some development. It's had a lot of reasonable results in other classes, other series. So I don't see why they can't get up where they were before. There's no reason. They've proved as a squad they got strength and depth. So yeah, I think more of the same, I think, for the Iron Dames.
And a word for the Iron Lynx squad?
Iron Lynx, unchanged lineup. Matteo Cressoni and Claudio Schiavone as well. You know, we saw last season that they were a little bit inconsistent in terms of what they brought, but it's all about Schiavone in that car. If Claudio can do a consistent stint and Cressoni can then kick on and they can actually build something in the race, then again, I don't see any weak links in this class. You know, I'm pretty sure that anyone on any given day can be in with a shout of at least a podium, if not challenging for the win.
Now to McLaren, there's a lot of fans that are super excited to have them back in the championship. And there's more of a link between their team, United Autosports, and McLaren than I think a lot of people might realise. Can you kind of explain that a bit to me?
Yeah, so United Autosports have been around now for over maybe about 20 years. Mm. They've been racing in all sorts of different national in the UK and international championships. Highly decorated team. Richard Dean, who runs the operation, was actually Zak Brown's racing coach when Zak Brown was trying to be a racing driver back in the 90s. So nice little sort of factoid there for you. But again, those two have built something very special in terms of what they're bringing to international motorsport. The 720S, again, has been extremely well developed. I think it's got a lot of potential for not upsetting the apple cart, because we're talking about McLaren here, United Autosports, but I think eventually they'll be seen as favourites. They've got some rookies in their driver crew, but they've got some drivers who are experienced in other series. You know, Marino Sato is coming into that team, and you know he's proved that he's extremely quick and can race with the best F2 drivers. So I anticipate, like some of the teams we've already mentioned, that it may take a couple of races just to get a bit of consistency and a bit of precision in there. But yeah, I don't see why they can't be sniffing around for some big prizes by the end of the season.
Last, but by no means least, Porsche, a long-standing part of the World Endurance Championship, with a new team this year.
Yes, Manti are running the two cars. I think the interesting thing about Porsche is, a bit like Ferrari, they've got a little bit of consistency and history and understanding technically what it takes with these cars. It's interesting they've called upon Klaus Backler, who's very experienced. You know, he knows how to develop a car. So I think as long as they have guys like Richard Lees and also Klaus, that they can really push Porsche into doing something special again this season. So again, you know, it's almost impossible. Please don't tell me we're doing any predictions for this.
Give us one race. I don't think I'm cruel enough.
One race grace, because we need to see where the hierarchy is, who's really getting it right from the start, and it's a 10-hour race. So by the end of it, we should get an understanding of a little bit of where the balance of power lies, I think.
We'll come back to your predictions alternative in just a second. For now, so we've got Goodyear tyres on all of these LMGT3s, and we've got a new qualifying format. What other things do the fans who might want to watch this race, what do they need to know about this class?
I think the key for me is quite a technical one, but the fact that these production sports cars have ABS brakes. Now, the LMGT cars didn't have that. The LMGT3 cars do. Theoretically, that should make it easier for the silver and the bronze categorised drivers. And that will also have a bearing on traffic when they've been lapped by the hypercars, because that's where quite often the drivers, the silver and bronze drivers, often lose time by going offline. Especially here at Qatar, it's very dusty offline. That's where you can lose 3, 4, 5 seconds a lap easily. And if you do that, you know, three times an hour, you're going to go from P3 to P6 very easily. So it's a kind of a technical thing, but ultimately I think that'll dovetail with a sporting matter of just keeping consistency during stints.
We mentioned the dust just then with the wind as well. It's going to be an interesting race. One final thought, an alternative to a prediction, what is one team that people should be looking out for this weekend? Harsh still, I know, but where do you think a good storyline lies?
Well, the romantic story would be the Proton Ford Mustang, wouldn't it? I mean, that is the one to look at. And I think, I know they've done quite a lot of testing. I know that, you know, if you ask some people in that team, they've got something quite special there. It's going to be a fan favourite wherever we go, because of the noise, because of the look and everything. So I think that there could be quite, you know, you wouldn't say it's a surprise because of the quality that they've got in their operation, their drivers. But I've just got a feeling that, you know, there could be a nice romantic story by Sunday evening here in Qatar.
And that wraps us up nicely. So thank you so much for joining me, Sam, for this one. But we're going to have to go and do it all over again, because this is just the GT3 video. We're also going to be talking about our hypercars, because there's a whole lot more to unpack there. If you want to watch along with us this weekend, you can head to fioec.tv to do so. There's a promo code available on our Instagram. Just a little sneaky bit of information between me and you. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you in the next one.